Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to your word, Lord, prepare our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray if there's anything that's on our minds, that's heavy on our hearts, Lord, right now, we would rest that at the foot of the cross, Lord, that we would trust you, that we would come and our ears, our minds, our hearts would be ready to hear from the truth of your word, Lord. I pray that you'd get me out of the way. Father, I pray for a spiritual covering over this place, Lord, over our hearts and minds. Lord, we pray for your truth to be seen, heard, and responded to. Bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So we're continuing on in our series, The Acts of God Through His Church, of really what is the purpose of the church? What are we called to do? What's our area of focus? And as we're doing that, we're going through the book of Acts. And we're not hitting every passage and every scripture, but we're kind of jumping into different spots where it focuses on things that are really important for what is the church called to do? How do we minister to our community? How do we get involved in the lives of the people near us? And how do we serve those people in ways that really bless them and come alongside them? And remember, the last few weeks, we've really gone over just the exploding new church of the first century. And 3,000 people have already come to Christ at the day of Pentecost. And it's one of these things where, man, God is moving and he's bringing his church. And as they come together, how do they respond? How do they move forward in the calling that God has given them? That's where we're picking it up. In Acts 3, starting in verse 1. And one of the ways that God does this is he uses healings. And this is an area that I think there's a lot of confusion. There's also a lot of division, unfortunately, in the church over this area. A beautiful area of healing. You know, often when Jesus heals, you'll see the people be blessed, and then you'll see the religious leaders complain that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, that Jesus did it wrong, that as people, we tend to find some negatives, don't we, sometimes? But God has a very specific plan for healing, and does God heal? Yes, but today I really want to look at, in the church, why does God heal? Why does God heal in today's world? What's the purpose of it? So Acts 3, starting in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Have you ever seen a miracle? I want to see hands. Have you ever seen or experienced on yourself or somebody near you personally being a miracle happening and a healing taking place? It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing when you see and experience the healing power of God. Has anybody ever prayed for healing and the Spirit was moving, God was speaking, and everybody was praying and they weren't healed? Anybody experienced that one? Oh, a few more hands. Why? Why? What's the purpose of healing? Why is it sometimes God moves in miraculous ways? Why is it sometimes he says no? Why is it sometimes he works through doctors and through natural ways? Why is it, what's the purpose of healing? What's the reason? And Why does God move the way he does? We'll be able to answer some of those questions, not all of them, but some of them partially at least, or all of them partially, but some of them a little more fully. Guys, I want to share, during the Renaissance era, there was a pope, and he was a patron of the arts. He loved the arts. He loved all the beautiful paintings and sculptures. And so it was at a time where the church had a lot of money. And so this pope was walking through, and he gave all this money to all these different artists to make more and more paintings and more statues. And as after years and years of leading and seeing all this grow in the church, he was walking through with one of the bishops, and he said to the bishop, he said, "Oh my goodness," he was so pleased with what he had seen, and he was so excited with what he had seen. And so he said to the bishop, he said, "You know what? We don't have to say any more. Silver and gold, we have none." And he was smiling and he was proud. And the bishop had this very sad look on his face. And the bishop turned to him and said, "Yes, but we're also not saying, take up your mat, walk." You know, sometimes in the church, we get focused in the wrong areas. Sometimes we hope to see God move in certain ways that you know what? God's moving in a different way. And the lame man here was seated at the temple gate. And I want you guys to think about this. It's at, what's the name of the gate? Beautiful. It's a good place to hang out, someplace that's called Beautiful, right? And he's waiting there, and it's at 3 in the afternoon, and we know this gate because it's the one that goes into the temple. And we've heard from the story that he's been brought here every day, right? So what does that mean has already happened? Jesus has passed by him time and time again. Jesus, who heals. I want us to think about that for a minute. This is a man who was wanting to have something given to him. He was looking for the wrong thing. We've got a whole world of people that in a whole community around us of people that are asking and searching for something of value. But they might not be knowing which questions to ask, what to ask for. And they're searching in different areas. And here's this man. And every day for years he comes, and Jesus passes him by. I believe the reason Jesus passed him by is because Jesus has perfect timing. Our Lord has perfect timing. And time and again this man is there, and Jesus chose to walk right by him. And here's two guys, Peter and John. The church is new, it's starting. And they come by, and this man asks them a question. He asks for something, he asks for help. And Peter got his attention. And first, Peter is honest before him, and Peter admits his material bankruptcy. He admits that he doesn't have the answer in and of themselves. Guys, we don't have in and of ourselves the things to give away. I tell you, I was so excited this last week. I got to go to a convention with leaders from schools and pastors. It was so exciting because it was, how do we connect the pastors and the churches with the leaders in the schools in their area so that there can be a natural connection. There can be ways for the church to be a support to the schools. Guys, my mind is flying right now. I'm so excited of all the different possibilities, and I got to be careful not to get ahead of God. But I'm so excited about all the opportunities for us to say, you know what? What's one school that we could adopt? What's one school that we could come alongside? You know, one of the things we're praying about is a possible school to use the building. You know, we don't know if it's going to happen, but let's keep it in prayer. What an awesome opportunity that would be to have families coming in 5 days a week into a church building. People don't go in buildings anymore that are churches. They're scared they're going to get bit. They're scared of those crazy Christians. But it's a chance for us to establish relationships, to get to know people, to appreciate people, to hear their hearts, to see what's going on in their lives. Guys, here, Peter got this man's attention, and he admits that he doesn't have what he has in himself to have. Because the guy asked for, you know, do you have something for me? Can I get some money? And he says, silver and gold I don't have. But the second thing he says is, Peter shared that spiritually, he had limitless resources. Guys, we are called to reach out with what we have materially to those around us who are in need. And guys, this church family, it might not be big, but you guys amaze me at your giving. At you guys give and give and give, and not just to the church, but to different ministries outside the church. Praise God, this shouldn't be the only place you give. And it's not. Not only that, with your personal time and effort and relationships, and it honors God. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he gives from a resource that we can't fully understand. The spiritual wealth to this man who would ask for something and get something much greater. Has a couple of things I want to say about the healing here. This is not a formula for us. This is not a formula of what we do and expect God to heal in the same way. We put our money in, we hit B7, we get our little goodie. Hey, praise God. God is not a vending machine, right? We don't get to control God. God, I put my money in, I hit my number. You have to, otherwise the machine's broken. God moves according to his purpose for his glory. And sometimes when we pray, we're not necessarily praying what God's got that is best. And sometimes when God says no, it's because he loves us so much that he says no. As a parent, remember, before Christ, before coming to salvation, we're under the law. When we come to Christ, we are children of God. We are in family. We've gone from a legal relationship to a family relationship. Does a parent who loves their children always say yes to the kids? Daddy, I want to run without looking across the road. Go for it, I love you. Daddy, what is this hole in the wall? If I lick this, oh, it's. We have rules. Why? Out of love. We want to protect our children. We say no to our kids. Why? Because we love them. Dad, can I go to this party? Who's there? I don't know. Let's investigate a little more. Okay, sounds like a good. Parents are there? Yeah, you can go. Oh, no parents there? Oh, no, you can't. A loving parent says no. And yes. And maybe. And later. But Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It's kind of like writing a check. He's speaking in the name. When he's speaking in the name of Christ, he's showing where the authority comes, isn't he? When we write a check, we're saying, you know what? Of what is mine, I'm signing to you, and here's the name that I'm signing under, and it's yours. And he's saying, this is yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's not my signature, but it's a signature of Christ. You've heard about this new church that just started? Man, God's moving, and I want you to experience the love of God. And he's healed. He gets up. He walks. How long had he been lame for? Just a little while? Or had it been a long time? What does it say? Okay, If you haven't walked from birth and all of a sudden you start walking, guess what happens? You're not real good at it, first of all. Next thing is, you're like, I've seen somebody who got healed on a leg that was not healed and was not able to move. The first thing they did was start going like this. Is it really, you know, they're moving it. He hasn't walked. He hasn't moved. And he's like, whoa. What happens next? When all the people saw him, verse 9, walking and what? Walking, jumping, leaping, and what? And praising God. Okay, first of all, he's not just, yeah, I'm walking. I walk now. This is what I do. I'm healed. God healed me. What God healed you? Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I was healed. Jesus of Nazareth, that's the guy. That's the one. And he's walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Guys, what happens when this man is healed? He instantly starts saying, who healed him? And it's not Peter, and it's not John. It's Christ. He was healed by his Lord. And so his response is to give glory to where it belongs. And as a result, all these people are seeing what? They're seeing a loving God who has the power and authority to heal. I have two responses to the scripture of what we've gone over so far. One is this. Praise God. It's amazing. God heals. He's wonderful. Look at what God can do. Another one is, God, I've been praying for my father since before I was a believer. He still doesn't know you. God, I've been praying for a healing for this person. Still nothing. There's a part of me that's excited, and I think if we're honest, there's a part of us that is a little bit deflated. Why? As I've really struggled this week to answer that question of why, it's because I want to be God. I want to be the one who decides when and how, because then I get to wield the power how I see fit. But if I have to trust God, it means I've got to humble myself, put myself under his authority, and trust that he knows better than I do. And I got to tell you, I know that here in my mind, in my head, but sometimes in my heart, in my experience, and in how I process my feelings, in reality, sometimes I struggle. Anybody else with me? Because we want what's best for people, but we can trust that God wants what's best for his children. God wants what's best for us. So the next question goes to me is, I remember years and years of 6 years in Uganda where I kept praying for opportunities to serve, and I kept getting sick with malaria 28 times. And I kept getting frustrated with God because it wasn't working out the way I wanted. But God had some work to do in my heart. He had some pride that was monster-sized that he was dealing with. And that pride still needs to be dealt with at times. New things happen, new things come up, start depending on self, start believing in self, start thinking the world revolves a little bit more around me. With success, start believing your own press. With defeat, start asking God why. As here it is, and we see here the meaning of the healing. Do you want to be an effective witness for Christ? Do you want to see people experience the blessing? And this is important. What if there's something more important than physical healing? What if God sees the bigger picture? What if God sees that, you know what, through this happening in this way, what if God's above the tapestry looking and creating this beautiful tapestry, and below we're seeing all the wild strings, the ugly side of the tapestry? Ravi Zacharias gave that beautiful picture. I love that picture. And we have a different view than God has of what's taking place on this beautiful tapestry of life. What if my physical suffering or somebody else's physical suffering brings eternal blessing to someone? Is it worth it? Because guess what? If I get healed, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get sick again. If I get healed again, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, I'm going to die, unless Jesus comes back before then. But eventually, death is ahead of us. And as believers, we don't have to fear that, because that just means right relationship with God. Without the veil, without the stuff, without the problems, without... means, man, we're in his presence in full. Right now we have the kingdom of God in part. We get to experience part of that kingdom here and now. But one day we'll experience the wholeness of his kingdom. And that's really, really good news. Do we want to be effective witnesses for Christ? How can we do that? How can we be effective in that? God doesn't want us to say what he's going to do to others. When we come, we don't come and say, you know, God might do this, or God, we don't get to control what God is going to do. But guess what we get to do as believers? We get to come and say, God did this in my life. He did it. I was here. I was broken. I was defined by my failure. And now here I am. God met me right where he reached so far down in that pit. And he picked me up right where I needed to be met, and he took me out. I couldn't get out myself. And he met me right there and pulled me out of the pit, and he's been walking with me ever since. We get to share what God's already done. The response of us being healed by Christ, eternally, spiritually healed, going from spiritual death to spiritual life, is to walk and leap and praise God and say, Jesus Christ, he healed me. Because now we bring that message and we're sharing what he's already done in our lives. And guess what? People hear that and they're like, the response is, the people come out and, is this real? Praise God if people start asking questions like, is God real? I remember those questions when I was asking them, when I didn't know the answer, when what defined me was anger and bitterness. I was looking for something to either get away from the bitterness, to drown it out, or something that had real value. I'd grown up in the church, but I had one parent who knew the truth, who lived it out in front of me, who had the joy of Christ, and one parent who didn't. Praise God, I had the example of my mother. Show me what God had done in her life. He wants us to tell what God has already done in our lives. God works in your life. So step one, receive what God has done. Be thankful. Right now, with all that's happening, I was watching a TV show, and it was just all about this family that half were Republicans, half were Democrat, and all they could do was yell at each other. And it really was an example of kind of where we are as a country, isn't it? People just angry and negative and bitter, and praise God, we've got everything in here, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and others. I don't know what other is, but we'll go with it. Praise God, we come together under the name of Christ Jesus. Because that's the only thing, Christ is the only thing that brings unity, that brings healing, not only to us and our souls, but to the relationships we have. And now we get to see God move in a way, wow, that he even heals relationships that in no other way can be healed. God works in our life. We get to share that. Then we go tell others what God did. Receive what God's done, tell others what he's done, and pray and trust that God is working in the lives of the hearers. You see, there's a point to miracles. It's not so that, it's not even about us getting healed. Guys, do you realize that? The healing that we experience is not even the ultimate purpose. Is not, now one of the blessings is that we get healed sometimes, physically. Praise God, it's not just physical. Praise God, God's involved in and cares about the whole person, physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally. God's concerned about the whole person. And when we have brokenness in any of these areas, we come to him and we find wholeness in him. Sometimes we only look at the physical aspect of healing. That, man, there's so much more. So much more. 1 Peter 3:15, the second part of it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Guys, we've got a hope that the world doesn't have. Have you ever spoken to somebody in their brokenness and you're looking into their eyes and you see their soul through their eyes, and what do you see? Brokenness. No hope. It's amazing that this week I got to talk with a gentleman who, man, when I first met him, it sounded like he was for God, and then he asked a few more questions, and well, and he wrote something up, and this is the word, and I was like, is it part of the word? No, God spoke to me. There was such a hunger in the heart to be of value, to be of purpose, that the word has secondary meaning, and what he was hearing and writing down was of primary source to hear from God. That's how cults are started. Guys, we need to be ready to speak the truth in love. But God moves and God speaks. And when he does, it's not something that gives glory to man. It's not something that gives glory to even us. It's something that gives glory to him. And we need to be thankful and have the focus be on him. Philip Yancey in his book, a fantastic book, if you ever get a chance to read it, Disappointment with God. I think it's kind of like the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are full of scriptures that are like, God, where were you? Where are you? I've been praying and you're not here. I seek your face and I don't see it. I love the Psalms because it's exactly how I feel so often. Where are you, God? And then at the end of the Psalm, oh, you're here. Oh, you've been moving in ways I didn't see. Oh, you had a better plan. Forgive me, God. Thank you for being with me. It's Philip Yancey's book, Disappointment with God. He talks about this university student who was watching TV. And as he's watching TV, he sees this person be healed. And he's been, in his personal life, he's been struggling in his faith, and he's been really struggling with doubt. Have you ever been there where you're struggling with doubt? Where you're discouraged? And he's watching this TV, and somebody gets healed, and he's like, I got to get there. I want to see that. 3 weeks later, he goes and he finds the same group, and they're in another place and they're doing a healing. And one of the guys who's a doctor himself comes up. He has lung cancer. And he goes and he's prayed for and he's healed. And he's so excited. And the man is leaping and thankful and woohoo, I'm healed. And this young man is touched. And his faith is increased. So he wants that encouragement to continue. So he finds out, okay, he's a doctor from this area. And he calls the doctor's office. He finds him and he wants to meet him. And he calls and he gets this woman. And he says, I saw this doctor and I want to meet with him. And I want to hear from him. And the woman on the other end of the line, she says, this is his wife. He died a few days ago. And she hangs up. and this man's faith and heart and hope is crushed. And he's got nowhere to go with it except truth to God. But in his brokenness, he's disappointed with God. Or so he thinks it's with God. But what he's really disappointed with is he had the perfect ending to the story. Have you ever watched a movie and it ended wrong? And you think they ended it wrong if they'd just done this. I know. Now, I'm willing to admit it. I like Hallmark movies. You know why I like Hallmark movies? Because it has a happy ending every single time. I like that. I deal with so much life that doesn't always end happy. And I love happy endings. Now, in life, we know it does end happy. It ends in God's glory. It ends in us with Him, if we know Him as a Lord and Savior. No better ending. But man, Act 1 and Act 2 and Act 3 are a little bit more painful in real life, aren't they? A little bit more painful. Verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." First of all, healing shows that the disciples had the authority. God said that they spoke not in their own name, but they spoke in the name of Christ. Second, when we come at any time and ask for healing, sometimes he heals, and then other times he doesn't. Peter was showing that this man had an inner need. He was asking for what? Money. He was asking for money. The beggar asked for silver or gold, and God gave him something so much better, healing, but even better than healing. He gave him a picture into the glory of God. And we see it change this man because what is he? He's not saying, "I'm healed." He's saying, "God healed me." There's a big difference. Guys, there's a big difference between "I'm okay" and because if it's in our own strength, we're not going to be okay the next minute. But if we're okay in Christ, if we're whole in Christ, that can continue on for eternity. Guys, humanity's need is much greater than physical. The people around us, their needs, they're asking for things, they're searching for things, but they're speaking of, I want something here, I want to be blessed physically. But we've got something to offer that's greater than that. And that's what we're called to do as the church. And it's to bring our testimonies of the God who healed us. There's no greater miracle than salvation. Guys, if you hear nothing else today, hear that. There is no greater miracle than salvation. Me and my sin, I had no way to get to God. I'm broken. He's holy. I can't achieve, no matter how hard I try. I might even not sin physically, but mentally in my heart and mind, I do. Day in and day out. Sometimes I'm blown away at how prone to sin I am. I can have a moment where God speaks to me, and then right afterwards, I can have a time where I'm full of my pride, I'm full of pride and or full of anger, and just boom. We've been commissioned to give away something of eternal value. Praise God, the wholeness in Christ. The wholeness in Christ, salvation, the greatest miracle of all. Then he goes on to say, "You handed him over to be killed." Peter's just talked about how, why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? It's not by our strength. "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. though he had decided to let him go. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. Barabbas. You killed him, killed the author of life. Think about that. You killed the author of life. You killed the Messiah. You still killed the Christ. You killed the author of life, but God who raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. They were witnesses of God being raised from the dead. Who nailed Christ to the cross? Our sin. We did. Because he died for us. We're guilty before God. Guys, we can't come to faith if we don't understand our need. If we think we've got all the answers in of ourselves, we're not going to hear the calling of Christ. But when we humble ourselves, I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know, if you know about God and believe in a God, but there's nothing personal yet, my hope and prayer is that you seek out Christ. Christ, if you're real, reveal yourself. Speak to my heart. Speak to my mind. If you're real, I want to know that. God's response to our guilt in the last verse that we're going to cover today, verse 16. They've just finished saying, we are witnesses of this, of God being raised from the dead. In verse 16, by faith in his name, in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and now and know was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. As you can see. Now, was it the man's faith? Whose faith was it? Guys, this is the hard part. My faith, I've been walking with God for a long time. My faith is not dependent. It doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with me. God called me. He called us. For those of you who know him, he called you. You responded to his call. It's his power, his strength, his authority, his will from the beginning. Some of us responded, some of us haven't, but it's his work. He is a sovereign God. Sometimes God does give outward physical wholeness, but he always offers spiritual wholeness. And the only way we can have it is through Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. So my question is, are you anything like the man in Acts 3? Are you anything like this man? Have you been waiting at the gate of God's house, waiting at the church, waiting for his help, waiting for an answer? Are you waiting for him to respond? God has made his abundant wealth available to us. And he's speaking and he's giving out his blessing. Guys, we need to live expectant lives in Christ. God's going to use us in a major way this week. He's going to bless people through you this week. He's going to allow you to plant seeds in people's lives. He may even give an opportunity for you to be the one who shares the gospel, who shares the truth as God reveals himself and as God brings somebody else into the kingdom of God. But we need to be expectant. There's healings that need to take place. More important than the physical healings are the spiritual healings. And there's healings of relationships, all kinds of healings that need to take place. He wants to give you the kind of abundant blessing that will cause you to rise up and walk. Praise God, he wants you to rise up and walk. And walk in his truth, walk in his love, and walk in a way that others say, what's different? What's It doesn't, that kind of life doesn't make sense. That kind of hope and trust, we're surrounded by brokenness. How can anybody be whole right now? Praise God, they see Christ in us as we get out of the way. That, guys, that's what we need to pray for, that God continues to do miracles, eternal miracles, miracles of all kind, and that we get to be a part of being the light of Christ, being the ambassadors, the ones called to reach out. This week, let's be prayerful. God, each day this week, I want us to say something in the morning. God, use me today for your glory. God, today, use me for your glory. Each day, each morning this week, start your morning. God, today, I give you my life. Today, I choose to walk in your will and not mine. Today, use me and give me eyes to see and ears to hear so that you can work through me so that I get out of the way. Because every time I'm leading, I mess it up. But Lord, use me for your glory. Let's commit. Do we commit to that this week? For 1 week, God, today, use me for your blessing in the lives of the people I meet. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and we need you so desperately. Father, I pray for each one here, Lord. I pray that you would speak mightily. Lord, I pray that anything that was of me would be put aside. And Lord, everything that is of your Holy Spirit would stick and would grow and blossom and produce incredible fruit. Lord, we pray that our community is different a year from now than it is right now. We pray that more people are not just in this church, but all the Bible teaching churches in the community, Lord, that they are all blessed because people are coming to faith because your word is being proclaimed. Your truth is being shared in love. Lord, we pray that not only would we grow in community as more believers as you transform a community, but Lord, we pray that we would grow in depth, that we would grow in our walks with you, that we would trust ourselves less and trust your sovereignty more and more, that we would have less defeat and more victory, that we experience, that the lies of the enemy wouldn't hit their mark as often in our minds, and we would be protected by putting on the full armor of God and being whole in the truth that we have a new identity in you. And Lord, we do lift up anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you yet. Lord, we ask that today is the day of salvation, that today is the day where they pray, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my sin. I don't know fully what it means yet, but I choose to follow you. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I receive you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my belief. Help me with my unbelief. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would move in our lives and in the lives of this community. Lord, bless your churches, bless your people, and make us a great blessing to many for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.